Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
Jay, I feel like this week is one of the most variety-filled episodes of Look Forward that we've ever done. There's a little something for everybody in this week's episode. You got your judicial corruption, you got your Nazi sympathizing, you got your Harry Potter, you have some classic Brad ageism that we're gonna go, you know, go hit on here. It's gonna be great. We're all over the place
this week. Yeah. Black Lives Matter, death penalty. I mean, or not death penalty, but you know, like jail time, and yeah, it's just it's fun. One, interestingly enough, probably a little known story, we're gonna talk about Republicans eating their own. And it's a real doozy. It's a fun story that just came out this evening. All right, so let's get right into it. Clarence Thomas found to have taken gifts from billionaire right-wing donor. I don't know if you could tell he's a billionaire. His name is Harlan Crow.
as I remarked to you before the show, it literally sounds like a Succession character.
Yeah, he quite literally does. So that's and not a good one either. One you'd hate. Well, in fairness, you hate all the characters, but that's the point. Our boy Clarence Thomas, totally busted, right? Because he decided that over the last number of years, like a lot, like 15 years, I think.
25. According to him, he's been friends with the Crows, which sounds racist, for the past 25 years. And he thought that would be like some sort of like vindicating statement.
Yeah, they're my buddies.
Yeah, and people were like, you do realize you've been a Supreme Court justice for 30 years, right? Like, it's not like you knew this dude while you were on the come up. Like you met him after you were in the highest seat of power that you could possibly attain in this country.
Right, and we'll talk about Harlan Crow in a second, because yikes. But just a couple points in the article. How they found out about this was the investigation, like ProPublica is the one who busted this thing wide open.
Which, their analysis, by the way, go ahead. Before we get into the analysis, again, I feel like we said this before, Republicans, or anyone, but especially Republicans right now, continue to show your ass in public constantly, and you're going to give people a reason to dig into your shit. Like, I'm pretty sure Clarence Thomas wasn't a raging piece of shit, that ProPublica would not have been like, oh, you know, we should probably look into Clarence Thomas. But because Clarence Thomas comes out here and makes like some crazy batshit rulings on Supreme Court cases and writes insane opinions, they're just like, huh, I wonder if we should look at where Clarence Thomas's money is coming from.
Yep, every time. And look, that is a lesson that I don't see them learning anytime soon, because they can't keep their mouth shut. No. Right? But look, by all means, keep going. Like, it's great. It's highly entertaining. So the ProPublica analysis basically got this information because of Thomas's financial disclosure forms and other related documents. So Thomas failed to disclose 12 trips on private jets and luxury accommodations, some of which were sponsored by prominent conservative figures. One notable trip was the 2021 hunting excursion in Texas, paid for by Harlan Crow. Thomas has received several expensive gifts, such as a $15,000 Rolex watch, which, again, he did not disclose on his financial form. So, like, shit like that, he takes, like, yearly trips on Crow's yacht, like his like crazy big yacht around the world. There's pictures of him and Jeannie Thomas and Harlan Crow and his wife, like on trips to like Indonesia and stuff like that. He has taken Crow's like super fancy Bombardier Global 5000 jet. I've never heard of that because I'm poor. Yeah, so he's been doing all this. He even went to, gotta say, this sentence feels a little weird to me. He has gone with Crow to Bohemian Grove, the exclusive California all-male retreat.
Yeah.
Sounds like an all-male review. So that's what it sounds like. But God bless. And he's also been to Crow's sprawling ranch in East Texas, of course. Thomas typically spends about a week every summer at Crow's private resort in the Adirondacks as well.
Yes. So, yeah, which we'll talk about that resort in a little bit here. So Clarence Thomas's excuse was, "Oh, I didn't know I had to disclose this stuff." To which I say, "Really?"
Yeah, that he pulled a Wesley Snipes. I didn't know that I had to pay taxes. Like, come on, Wesley, don't do that. Like, you knew.
And I love how, you know, both him and Harlan Crowe were quick to come out and be like, "Oh, we're just good friends." Like, you know, I would never attempt to use my largesse to influence my friends' opinions on cases that he rules. And I've never had business before the court, you know, that Clarence Thomas sitting on it. Meanwhile, there's a painting that someone that they commissioned that sits in Harlan Crowe's like resort house of him and Clarence Thomas and Leonard Leo, like the dude that basically fucking created the Federalist Society, and two notable Republican judges, but one of which was the Trump administration's counsel in OMB, all sitting around a campfire, smoking cigars, chatting, I'm sure, about nothing politics related, I'd have to imagine. So,
look,
it's just like, like, bro, like that, like this is literally immortalized on a canvas of you with these fucking dudes.
Yeah. I call this painting corruption. it's super honest. These are judges I've bought before. Like, isn't that cool? Like, I own them. I don't think there's anything more irritating to me than the idea of Clarence Thomas holding himself in such high regard.
Mm-hmm.
Clarence Thomas is easily one of the worst Supreme Court justices we've ever had, by far. And I mean that, not that I think he's not intelligent or anything like that, but that he got in, right? And, like, look, the method by which he got in, and I'll talk about mm-hmm. that in a second for folks who don't know, the method by which he basically nullified any Democratic opposition to him was nothing short of brilliant. It was a mm-hmm. shithead move. I don't want you to think that I think it was brilliant as in I agreed with it. I just thought it was a brilliant move. He used the one thing against America that a black person can use, and in his position, it worked perfectly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he then got in and almost never said anything the entire time he's been in Supreme Court. Not until after Scalia died, I believe, had mm-hmm. he said anything on the record in like 12 years. He doesn't speak up, which means he's not asking questions, which means he already has his mind made up, which is not the sign of a person who is willing to listen, right? Like, your job is to be a judge and to ask questions and to wonder why X is X and Y is Y and why one side's arguing one thing and one side's arguing another. You don't just listen and take everything at face value and then rule. That's terrible judgment. And I know what people are thinking. Well, judges normally don't ask questions. It's the lawyers. Well, that's not exactly how the Supreme Court works.
Not at all how the Supreme
Court
works.
Not at all.
Like they're that's yeah, that's literally all it is. Like, it's literally like each side presents their case, and then after they're done presenting their case, the judges are just like, "Let me scrutinize this case. Let me pick apart this totally argument." Different. It's like you said, a wildly different sort of thing because they're an appeals court ultimately. Like at the end of the day, that's pretty much what they are. That's what appeals courts do. They're much more involved and talk because they're talking about, you know, based on rulings that have already happened. Like, you don't no one gets to go to the Supreme Court first. That's not how that works.
Somebody tell Donald Trump that.
Well, you know, now one of the things that and just to give you the kind of ridiculous person that Clarence Thomas is, one of the things that came up during this investigation is there's like a clip of this. Like, I guess, documentary on him, I guess, which, by the way, underwritten by Harlan Crowe, in case, you know, you were wondering about that.
Wait, what?
Yes, the documentary about Clarence Thomas is basically Harlan Crowe's like producing it. Like, he's underwriting the cost to produce this documentary.
Oh, he owns him full board.
Yeah, but in this documentary, amazing. There's like a voiceover of Clarence Thomas talking about how like he really like he's a root of the earth type of American. Like, he likes to see the real people in the Midwest. And he says one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my entire life. I prefer, like, I don't like going to, like, the beaches and the coast and things like that. I prefer the Walmart parking lot to the beaches or something along those lines.
Wait.
I'm not exaggerating, by the way. This Clarence is literally Thomas something that he said says. That? Yes, Clarence Thomas says this in this like in this documentary that he's voicing.
Yo, Ari, yo, knock it off, yo, knock it off.
Talking about himself, yeah,
knock it off. The Walmart parking lot. You haven't been to a Walmart in 40 years. Stop lying.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's taking private, you know, trips on private jets to Indonesia and, right. and you know, hanging out yeah. on yachts and you know, going to all male treats at the Bohemian Grove as you do. You know,
yeah, as the folks who shop at Walmart do. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, why do you have to pretend to be a regular Joe? You're not. Look, this is one of the great issues, like one of the great divides between the left and the right. The right, we're hardworking Americans, blah, 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 right? Like, their politicians mm-hmm. say this shit. Liberals go, yeah, I like going to Trader Joe's, man. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I like getting a coffee. And they're like, you fucking elitist assholes. I'm like, I'm an elitist asshole? That guy's on super yachts and hanging out on a Bombardier 5000 jet I've never heard of. But, like, that guy can say that. And conservatives go, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Well, it's like I said, it's the great trick that they pull, because they sit there and like, I'm one of you. And like, if you just take one step back and just kind of look at the full picture, anyone in middle America should look at most conservative politicians and be like, no, you're not. Like, not even a little bit.
Dude, not even a little bit. Like, I will never forget, and I will never stop telling this story to people who don't know. And I have to assume that we've had new listeners since I told this story years ago. Mm-hmm. When Fred Thompson, who used to be on, Law and Order? Yeah, there's like a thousand Law and Orders, right? Fred Thompson used to be an actor, but he was also in the Senate at one point, right? He ran for president in 2008 race, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. He got fucking destroyed, right? But he ran in 2008. And his whole thing is he would go to these little towns in America, in the Midwest, and he'd drive his, like, old red pickup truck through town and be like, hey, everybody, it's Fred Thompson. I was on TV, but I'm a regular Joe riding this red truck right through town, just like you, heading to the local Pick and Save or Walmart or whatever, right? You're like, oh, he's going to the Piggly Wiggly. He's just like us, right? Turns out, shocking news, Fred Thompson, Hollywood actor Fred Thompson, how anyone forgets this is amazing. His team would fly in and they would pull that fucking red truck. They would tow it behind on a flatbed and then they would park it just outside of the town limits, and then he would drive it in and pretend he drove it from the last town, and then the second they got out of town, they throw that bitch right back on a flatbed, and he'd get right back into his jet and fly away. And people were like, yeah, no, this guy's just like us. They're not like you. Look, I'm not like you either, but at least I'm honest. Joe Biden isn't like you either. Obama's not like you either, but they're honest. At least they're honest. You could say, oh, well, and they're not billionaires or anything, but they live more of a, like, quote-unquote coastal elite lifestyle, right? Like, they eat vegetables and shit. I know that's not really a thing in the Midwest, but, like, they're at least honest about who they are. So you could go, all right, well, like, that guy's not doing all the things I'm doing, and so that's maybe a difference, but at least that guy's being honest. Fred Thompson's not being honest. He's a multimillionaire. Like,
yeah.
He's lying to you, and he's telling you that he's just a regular Joe like you. I will never understand that. I would never understand buying into that shit. So things I don't also understand. Having a signed copy of Mein Kampf is what Harlan Crow has. Holy shit. Brad, you wanted to talk about what are the requirements, because he's saying he's not a Nazi. Other people online who are like – journalist are also saying he's not a Nazi. What can you give some qualifiers for being a Nazi? Do you have any?
Sure. Yeah, I feel like if you feel it necessary to seek out and purchase and own a lot of obscure Nazi memorabilia, I feel like you might be a Nazi. It's one thing to be
Like a
you
signed
know, like,
copy of
oh,
it?
like,
With a
yeah,
signed copy of it?
like, I feel like if you were really curious to read Mein Kampf, you could just get a copy of Mein Kampf. You don't necessarily need a Hitler signed copy of Mein Kampf.
That is correct.
And I also feel like that maybe you don't need the matching Nazi napkin set with the fucking Nazi emblem on it. I feel like that's kind of unnecessary. Yeah, I feel like you could, I feel like if you want to learn about Nazi history, you can pick up a history book and that's fine because I'm kind of interested, especially in the time, the life and times that we live in now with the
Right.
Republican Party the way they are. I'm like, you know, I too have wondered, man, how did Germany fall under the spell of this fucking charlatan? And how did this fucking political party build this iron grip of power in this country for such a long sustained period of time? And regular German people were just kind of going along with it because I feel like that would be useful information to have now. But
Right.
I'm not going to go, be like, you know what, I'd really like to answer this question. So I think the right thing for me to do is to buy some Nazi posters to hang in my house. I
Yeah,
feel like there's other
but
things you
like
could
to
do.
really get like to really get a sense of it all. I do find it I find it interesting that there were arguments online like he's not a Nazi. He also has a statue in his garden of Joseph Stalin.
Which, by the
Okay,
way,
you're right. Joseph Stalin, not Nazi. Joseph Stalin, horrendous human being.
yes,
What are you
literally,
arguing here?
he is literally, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, Harlan Crow is literally a small step away from being a James Bond villain. There was a James Bond villain who one of his villain quirks, he was an arms dealer. He had statues of famous dictators
Yeah.
and military generals in his house. The thing that Harlan Crow has not done yet, but there's still time, he's not dead yet, is the fact that he could put his face on these generals. So if he has the Stalin statue with Harlan Crow's face, then he would be a literal Bond
Now,
villain.
I am going to defend Harlan Crow here for a second.
Okay, go for it.
Is it possible? And look, it's possible that Harlan Crow did not mean to own a signed copy of Mein Kampf, but instead he was trying to just get the book that Hitler signed that Indiana Jones had in his hand. Right. It's just the Grail Diary. Like maybe he was just trying to get the Grail so that he could then live forever.
And I think my favorite
I mean, I would appreciate if you would address my theory, Brad, as if it is totally serious.
I mean, look, maybe who's to say that that Denholm Elliott or that not Denholm Elliott, but Julian Glover's character in Last Crusade was based on Harlan Crow. I don't know. I don't know. It could very well be for all we know.
I don't know
For
that.
all we know.
I don't know.
My favorite thing about Harlan Crow is that he is just a shining example of a right-wing influencer in that he's a nepotism baby who inherited all his money from his daddy, who actually did stuff.
Right.
And the dude has just basically been a dilettante and has gotten influential friends that he can then peddle influence with, despite not actually contributing anything to society.
Yeah. Dude, I wow.
And somehow this guy is a fucking, a big dude in Republican donor politics because he's got a shitload of money,
Yeah.
and because he has money, he's allowed to have opinions, and his opinions are allowed to be heard because that's all Republicans give a flying fuck about.
Yeah.
Also, he has a fucking resort house in the Adirondacks that's a replica of fucking Hagrid's house from Harry Potter, which is weird to me. You didn't know
Come on,
that?
man. Come on, man. I like that series, but don't do that. Don't do that. Well, you know what? I hate to say it because it's really cheesy, but I think it just makes sense. Title of the show, You're a Nazi Now, Harry.
You're Nazi now, Harlan.
Yeah, like, God damn it. That's such a hacky joke, but come on, it's right there. So here's two things. I slightly buried the lead there. Among his figures in the Garden of Evil Joseph Stalin.
Does he call it that, or did the article call it that?
Is it in quotes? I don't know. It's in quotes. I don't know. So it is equally possible that he's like, yeah, it's the Garden of Evil. Well, let's see who's in there. Let's see which statues are there, Brett. Let's see if that name fits. As I mentioned, Joseph Stalin, Vladimir Lenin, Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceausescu, Yugoslav dictator Joseph Broz Tito. I don't know anything about this Yugoslav dictator, but I definitely know Nicolae Ceausescu, and I definitely know Vladimir Lenin and Joseph Stalin. Yeah, I'm going Garden of Evil. Totally fine.
So really, calling him a Nazi might be unfair. He may just be a run-of-the-mill fascist then, maybe. Like, maybe that's
all.
Like, exactly, he just fucking loves fascism.
Yeah. Again, he's not a Nazi. Yeah. He's worse.
I like Jews. I just want to have complete fucking control over people. Like, that's my
what's the big deal? All right.
Yeah.
Who cares? And maybe, I don't know, maybe kill 50 million of my own people. Big deal, big deal, big deal, big deal. What are you guys getting all up in arms about?
I hate to do this because we do it every fucking time, but it feels necessary. Republicans are like, what's the big deal? Like, why is this such a big problem? But like Harlan Crow has all this stuff in there. Up-a-da-ba-da, like all this stuff. Just imagine if someone took a trip to, I don't know, let me just pick a name out of thin air, George Soros's house. George Soros had a fucking garden full of, you know, of Stalin statues and Lenin statues and you know, Genghis Khan statues and what have you, Napoleon statues. Like, I would imagine, and I have to imagine, because fair and balanced is what the right wing media does, that they would have a completely measured and tepid and normal response.
Oh, 100%.
To that news being out there.
Yeah, it is amazing. I will say this. This article and it really kind of pushed me over the line. Like, I'm a bad liberal, right? Because I believe that I don't give a shit if somebody works, they start a business and they make $1 billion. They become a billionaire. I know people are like, it's cool to say like, there should be no billionaires, right? Bernie says it. People will say it all the time. Whatever. I actually don't agree with that. I think if you earn the money, you earn the money. As long as it's legal. I also think they should be taxed to the fucking hilt. So I think it kind of stops that from happening anyway. I think it should be a 90% tax at the top bracket. So me saying that is really kind of a cop-out, because if I had my druthers, they would never become billionaires. But I don't think there should be a cap on it, right?
You don't have a fundamental opposition to billionaires existing.
Right. Some people have a fundamental opposition to it, which to me sounds a little silly. I'm like, just tax the shit out of them, dude. You don't have to worry about it. Just, you know, have systems in place, right? I believe in systems. I don't believe in, I just don't want it. That's not a good argument, right? So I'm a bad liberal in that regard. However, I did hear one of the best arguments for feeling, for changing my mind on why there shouldn't be billionaires, right? Because the arguments have always been they're exploiting people.
Was it Harlan Crow as Nazi member?
I was like, this guy's got too much fucking money. He's got statues? Who has a statue of Nicolae Ceausescu? That's just crazy. That's like way too recent history. He's like, no, I need that guy. Like, why? No, but I heard Sam Cedar, who I respect greatly. I think he is one of the last good, like, professional liberal, you know, like, commentators. I really do. The rest of them have been horseshoeing their way to the right a little too hard for my taste. But Sam Cedar, I think, is very, very good and an honest person. And he was on a show sitting across from like a multimillionaire, and he was just like, like, I think you guys are basically pieces of shit, and I don't agree with your entire whole thing, your whole brand. And he said, yeah, I don't think billionaires should exist. And he didn't use a shitty argument that I see most people make. He was like, listen, in order for a democracy to work, people have to have an equal voice. And the simple existence of someone with that much money disallows that person to have an equal voice in society as a guy who's basically like, I don't know, a garbage man, right? Like, you cannot compete because the amount of money they simply have in their possession makes them quite literally worth more politically. So they have an outsized amount of power on the system. Now, that to me is a compelling argument. They shouldn't be able to, like, make that amount of money because it's exploiting workers. Well, dude, I pay you. You work here. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's on its face, it's not a very good argument. But even as hearing that, and I think it's a very convincing argument, I still disagree with it ultimately because I'm like, take money out of politics. And again, you don't
have to. Like, you can legislate their influence in.
Yeah, you can just destroy it, right? Yeah. So, but as the system stands right now, that to me is the best argument, is that they in fact have an outsized amount of power just simply by existing. Simply by existing. Because they can put their thumb on the scale anytime they want. And for good or bad, right? You could be like, Donald Trump is evil. Here, I'm worth $135 billion. Here's $1 billion to the Democratic Party. Beat this guy.
Yeah.
You could do that, right? Like you could, right? And if you got $130 billion, what's a billion to you? It's nothing to you.
And here's the thing, like, I'm sure that there's no records or that I you know what? I'm even going to go out on a limb and say Harlan Crow has never gone to Clarence Thomas and been like, "Hey, can you rule this way for me on this thing, or can you do this way for me on anything?" But just the fact that that relationship exists, and just the fact that Clarence Thomas benefits from it, is going to cloud his thinking and is going to cloud his judgment in cases where maybe Harlan Crow's not directly affected, but people like him could be. Clarence Thomas ruled on the Citizens United decision. Now, Clarence Thomas probably believes that money in politics should be unfettered, but you can make the argument that because his fucking best friend that takes him on trips around the fucking world and has him at over at his place and, you know, flies him on his private jet and, you know, takes him out on his yacht all the time would have a bearing on him ruling in that case, because if he rules in favor of, you know, no money in politics, that's harming a personal relationship that he has. So it doesn't have to be Harlan Crowley going out there being like, oh, like, you better kill this Citizens United thing. Just the fact that that relationship exists. And we're just supposed to trust that Clarence Thomas can separate his personal, you know, his personal relationships and his personal feelings from interpreting the law. And I think we found that, especially with this specific crop of right-wing Supreme Court justices, they can't disentangle their political leanings and their feelings about issues from interpreting the law.
Right. And look, if you want to say that's definitely would also be a problem on the left, I agree with you. I don't want George Soros flying, you know, Elaine Kagan around either on fucking private jets. That's not acceptable. So it's not even a, like, a liberal versus conservative thing. It's a corruption thing. It's just not acceptable behavior. Now let's just briefly touch on the most obvious part of this. Nothing's going to happen.
Nope, because the mechanism that exists to discipline Clarence Thomas, I mean, there really is no, like, there's not like an ethics board for the Supreme Court. And if this was truly, you know, a problem, then you could impeach him. But Republicans control the House. You're never going to get, you know, a 50% vote to impeach Clarence Thomas. And, you know, if you impeach him, you don't have 2/3 vote in the Senate to drum him out. So like you said, nothing will happen. He will be admonished in the press and we'll all continue knowing, you know, knowing the score and knowing the deal with Clarence Thomas, but he'll still get to sit there. He'll still get to make shitty rulings on cases that are presented before him. And he'll be there until either he decides he wants to leave, which is probably the next time we get a Republican president. He'll probably try to hang on until then, I would almost guarantee, or until he fucking dies, which, you know, whichever comes first.
Never can tell. Speaking of getting old, Brad, you want to take this story? You hate old
people. Apps. I do. Well documented on this show that that I am a noted ageist when it comes to politicians. So, Dianne Feinstein, legendary politician, especially in California, great, former mayor of San Francisco. She's been in the Senate for a very long time at this point. Dianne Feinstein is also 89 years old right now.
Young. 89 years young.
Nope, I'm going to go with 89 years ageist.
You fucking ageist piece of shit. I guess next you'll tell her she can't drive, Brad. She shouldn't be driving.
So, Dianne Feinstein fell ill with shingles in early March, which is not her fault. You can't, you know, shit happens. Can't help that. But here's the problem, is that since March 7th, when she left D.C. to be treated for her shingles condition, she's missed 58 Senate votes, meaning that she's missed literally three quarters of the votes that have happened in the Senate so far. Another problem is that she's a member of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. The Judiciary Committee is responsible for getting through the judicial nominees of President Biden. And without her being in the committee, it is a 12-12 split between Democrats and Republicans. And Republicans are hard obstructing any nominees that come up because, of course, they are. Because what the fuck else would they do? So,
I mean, I would do that if I were them too.
Like,
I mean,
of course. So because Dianne Feinstein is out, basically judicial nominees are slowing to a crawl, essentially. And basically the call has come for Dianne Feinstein probably needs to go. Because I don't know if you know this, Jay, but generally, the health prognosis for 89-year-olds doesn't improve as time goes along. Things end up getting worse.
Again, now, I refuse to stand with you, Brad, as you besmirch the fine octogenarian audience that we have.
Look, it is okay. It is okay to be wrong. Now, Dianne Feinstein has. She's in the last leg of her term. She has not yet announced whether or not
which term, her life term or in Congress in general.
Like little column A. Jeez. She has not yet announced whether or not she's going to seek re-election at the ripe young age of 89.
Yo, come on, lady. Now,
fortunately, a couple Democratic politicians from California, notably Barbara Lee and Adam Schiff, and I think Katie Porter has too, all declared that they're going to seek the nomination to replace her in the Senate. So I'd have to imagine that she's probably not going to be returning back to Congress after her term ends at the end of 2024. It would be really cool though if Dianne Feinstein decided to leave, I don't know, like 2 months ago. Would have been the best time for her to leave. Yesterday would be the next best time for her to have left. And then today would be the next best time for her to have left. And every day, therefore, until she leaves. And here's the shit that drives me up the fucking wall. So they're going out and they're talking, like, they're, of course, like, since this is the topic of the day, they're talking to other Democratic senators about, hey, do you think Dianne Feinstein should resign? Which, first of all, is a stupid question for reporters to ask. I understand that they have to ask the question, but to expect, like, one of their colleagues to trash them publicly through the media is insane. Never going to happen. Like they asked Sheldon Whitehouse, and while he didn't say no, like, he was like, she certainly doesn't need me weighing in on her political future and this, that, or the other thing. Like, that's what he said, essentially. I really hope that those people behind closed doors that conversation with her staff at the very least to be like, hey, can you maybe like get her to not be here anymore, perhaps? Or better yet, and I understand you don't want to embarrass someone on their way out the door. Chuck Schumer could just remove her from the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't do that and just
He'd be like, look, she's not here. I don't want to pull her off the committee, but look, we need someone that can actually cast votes right now. And Like that's what we're doing.
Yo, you're 100 years old. You're right. 1,000 years old. It's okay. Fine. You want to stay in Congress to the end of 2024. I think it's ridiculous, but whatever. But you got to get off the Judiciary Committee so that like work can get done. It shouldn't be held up. Democracy should not be held up because you are just so obstinate about retiring. It's ridiculous.
Selfish. You're selfish about it. You are literally putting yourself ahead of your constituents, ahead of the country, ahead of your party. Like that's what you're literally doing. You are putting yourself before all these people. Politics, like it's this weird conundrum that politics is, because it really needs to be one of the most selfless like positions that kind of exist in as a job. Right. Yet it's dominated by the most egotistical people in the entire world. I would love for Dianne Feinstein, if she can form a coherent thought at this point, because there's a lot of people that have said over the last couple of years that her fucking mental faculties seem to be escaping her a little bit.
Look, never forget that there was a doctor who says that they absolutely have prescribed anti-dementia medicine to someone in Congress.
Yeah. But like, I would love for her – I would love to, for her to explain to me how – her sitting at home in San Francisco and not in DC to take votes and letting these judicial nominees get held up and stymied and all that stuff, how that is better serving the country than her stepping down from her seats and giving it up and letting someone else fill it, you know, sit out the rest of the term for the next 2 years. Like that's literally all you're asking us to do.
Is your home life that bad at 89? Why do you want to be in D.C.? Just stay home, man. Just stay home.
Yeah.
You're good. Look, again, legendary politician. It's fine. Don't let your – like,
You're ruining your own legacy.
You're right. Like, don't you're ruining let your legacy own legacy. Get destroyed. Right? Like, look, we can all learn from George Costanza. When you hit a joke at the high point, you just leave. Like, look, you did it. Just leave. It's okay. Just get the fuck out of there.
Like again, like all I remember about Orrin Hatch, dude that was in the Senate for fucking ever, is that he fucking caped to Donald Trump on his way out the door and fucking voted against Raheem Rothfuss, and despite the fact that he was a very staunch anti-Trump dude when that dude was still running for president. That's the last thing I remember. Dude was in the Senate for fucking 40 years, 50 years, however long Orrin Hatch was in the Senate. And all I remember is that, like, oh, dude, you fucking burned your legacy up by fucking caving for this man. What the fuck? Don't go out like this.
Yeah.
Like, if you're Dianne Feinstein, I don't understand why you want to go out like this.
It doesn't make sense. Orrin Hatch was supposed to, he was supposed to fulfill the white horse theory, which was a Mormon man becoming president through some fucking nonsense rigmarole. But it would have been awesome. Not really.
Again, if there was one thing that I could impart on this world, and I realize that I'm a massive fucking hypocrite for saying this, because if Joe Biden runs again for president in 2024, I will 1,000% go out and vote for him. No problem. So I am inserting my foot directly into my mouth. But if I could do anything, and I mean anything in this world, if I could snap my fingers and make it so, I would put a constitutional amendment in place that nobody above the age of 80 can serve in federal government. That's what I would do.
80 like you turn 80, old?
You're gone. Yes. Mm,
yeah, I disagree.
And again, I feel like I'm compromising by saying 80. If it was up to me,
I would
say 72.
Okay. It's like that's what I'm saying. I disagree. Like that number's way too high. Yeah, number's way too high. Are you kidding me? No. 70. You know what? 65. Let's start. Well, you know what it is? You know what? I'll just tie it to this. Whatever the retirement age
is. Oh, there you go. No, but see, no. Then you're incentivizing them to fucking just.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they got people working forever.
Don't do that. Trust me. They will do anything they can to cling to whatever semblance of power, even if it fucks over, you know, hundreds of millions of Americans.
The retirement age is 100 years old. Like, Jesus Christ. But yeah, I think it should be much closer to retirement age.
Yes.
If you're 100%. telling people they have to retire at, what is it, 68 now or something like that, 67, then that should be where you are.
And again, if you think I'm wrong, about this. If you're listening out there and be like, that's ridiculous, like you're being ageist, whatever. Again, my recommendation to you would to literally queue up on C-SPAN any of the recent hearings over the past couple years when they have someone from a Silicon Valley tech company in front of Congress and listen to the questions that some of those fucking Congress people ask. Dude, at the TikTok hearing, there was literally a fucking congressman asking the TikTok CEO, does the TikTok app access your Wi-Fi? And the fucking TikTok CEO, like, he didn't know what the fuck to say because he just like, yeah, I mean, like, if your phone's connected to Wi-Fi, then yeah, like the TikTok app is connected to Wi-Fi because but this dude was like incredulous, like, I can't believe TikTok accesses your Wi-Fi. But, like, you're giving it access to your Wi-Fi because that's how phones work.
He was like, God damn it.
What the fuck are you like, what the fuck is
Chinese
wrong?
Are geniuses. How do they get into our Wi-Fi? Oh God.
Yeah. Like if you are a politician and you can't prevent yourself from looking like an ass in a fucking tech hearing, you gotta go.
Yeah, you gotta go.
You gotta go. Sorry.
Like,
you gotta
I have
go.
A question about this TikTok. Will it be able to open a PDF document for me? Sorry,
yes. Yes. My favorite one of the politicians, I don't remember who it was a Republican, of course, was basically like asking, trying to figure out like how the algorithm worked. And he's just like, the algorithm must not work because it feeds me a ton of trans content and a ton of like LGBTQ content, and like, so like your algorithm's broken. And it's like, actually it's probably working exactly as it's supposed to.
way to out yourself,
but good job.
I keep seeing is hot trans chicks. What is the deal with this? Well, sir, you keep searching for it and you keep clicking that heart button.
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious. How dare you? Your algorithm's broken. No, buddy. I think you're, you know what? Maybe your marriage is broken. I don't know. Next up, both Tennessee Democrats reinstated to their House seats. Justin Pearson was reinstated by the Shelby County Board 7-0 on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And previously,
Justin Jones,
the other Justin, got a unanimous vote from his county board as well. They are both there temporarily until there is an election, but they are back in their seats. Shit, Justin Jones, he didn't even miss a day of work. Like, no, they fired him on a Friday, yeah, and he was back on Monday. He was
literally back the next day. Yeah,
what's up, motherfucker? Like,
it is astonishing.
It's amazing how stupid the Republican
Party. How fast this boomeranged on them and how predictable it was.
Oh, yeah.
And again, to follow up my point earlier about don't show your ass or you're going to get caught out. While Justin Jones is back and while Justin Pearson is back, someone did some digging on Cameron Sexton, the Speaker of the Tennessee House, and found out that he actually lives about 300 miles from the district that he represents.
Oh.
Whoops. Uh-oh.
Should that get him kicked out? Right? Because that's that's more than just a decorum issue.
Yeah. So I mean, sure seems to me. There's also one of the other Republican representatives who it was learned over this past weekend because reporters dug it up. While he was a small town doctor, he was prescribing opioids for a woman that he was in a relationship with. Who was also his second cousin.
A little Rudy Giuliani action. I like that. I'm sorry, Rudy Giuliani. That was his first cousin he married.
Yeah. Yeah.
Classic. Right? But so, you guys are worried about LGBTQ folks. Okay.
So just to recap, Republicans martyred these two guys over some bullshit, made themselves look incredibly outwardly, nakedly racist in the process by not voting out the white woman. Who also joined in on these protests as well. Yes. And then these people came right back. So you've martyred them. You've made them more powerful. You gave them a national platform. You pissed off all the, you know, fucking young voters in your state that you would fucking do this. They're back in Congress anyway, or they're back in the House anyway. They're probably going to win re-election for their seats, and you look like assholes, and now your members are getting the shit, rose to the sunlight against you. Bravo, Tennessee Republicans. Just a stellar fucking job. And to what end? To what end? To own the libs for a weekend? Is it like that's literally all you accomplished?
Yep.
Because again, you have a supermajority in the House. You could have just fucking let that shit slide, kept your powder dry, and just still gotten the votes that you wanted to anyway, and still passed through whatever legislation you want. Now you've made a fucking issue.
It's not like there was any threat for gun control to pass. None. The people are in the House and they're yelling about gun control. You guys don't give a shit.
Now their Republican governor is out here being like, I don't know, maybe we should get some gun control guys. like I'm just saying, like, this is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, pretty crazy. I'm sure he's real liberal, right? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you've made a very grave mistake. You mentioned this last week. You are galvanizing, you are radicalizing young people under 30 against you. You're not radicalizing them for your cause. You're radicalizing them against you. And they're not going to forget.
Mm-mm.
Like,
because you laid it bare, you laid it bare. Challenge us, and we will destroy you. Like that. That's the message that you're sending. And I don't know about you, but especially young people in this country, they hear that and them's fighting words. Yeah. Challenge accepted.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's, all right, man. Like, you think you're gonna win this? You think you're gonna win this shit?
Yeah.
All right. Look.
To quote Bruce Wayne. Yeah, to quote Bruce Wayne, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Yeah, like, dude, that video of Justin Jones returning to the House with like a full crowd cheering him on.
Fist in the air. Yeah,
power to the people, man. Like, you done fucked up, man. You done fucked up. And here's the thing.
And for nothing. You gained nothing.
Right. I think Republicans, and we could often say this about Democrats, but that tide is turning about them. Republicans have now forgotten who they're fighting. And what I mean by that is Democrats always got in trouble, rightfully so, because they were always fighting Republicans on – they had also – like, they kind of lost the threat on that, right? Like – they were fighting Republicans from the 1970s and the 1980s. Oh, well, or 60s. Like, oh, we just have a beer with Tip O'Neill, it'll all fucking work out, right? Like, they were still fighting those kind of battles, right? We're gonna argue the facts, and the facts will prevail, and we'll sit down, we'll have 3 martini lunch, and everything will be okay, right? And that's why they kept getting clobbered. But you have to remember, Justin Jones and Justin Pearson and Gloria Johnson as well, they're not from that era. Well, Gloria Johnson is. She's like 60. But like Justin, the two Justins are not from that era. They're not from the Tip O'Neill era. They don't give a shit about that. They're 27 and 28. They're younger than us. So the only politicians they've ever truly seen is like the Bush administration forward. So it's Bush, Trump, and Obama, and now Biden are the only 4 people they've really paid attention to in politics as far as the national stage. What shape do you think that puts young people in? It puts them in a completely never trust Republicans position. They know not to trust them. Their word means nothing. And the only way you beat them is by just kicking the shit out of them and never letting your foot up. Like, and I don't mean that literally before people, oh, it's an insurrection. Like, no, I mean quite literally from a political perspective, you can never let them up. You knock them down and kick them down. And old Democrats only that, are not they used are, to that. Dianne Feinstein's not used to that. So that's why they fight.
And not only that, but they're savvier than these Republicans are.
They're far savvier.
The thing that I remember from the hearing that they had and one of the clips that went viral is the Republican leader in the House talking to Justin Pearson, and he was using like he was using that tone that I'm shocked that he didn't say like boy like
oh yeah it was peppered in whether you heard it or not
Yeah, like because it was completely condescending. Like, you know, you're there because you broke the rules, and now you're going to pay the price, and like kind of like admonishing him, and Pearson didn't get upset. Nope. He didn't get pissed off. He didn't get mad. All he says, "You guys all saw that, right? Like, can you believe this dude is talking to me that way? Like, treating a colleague that way? Like, treating a fellow congressperson? Like, talking down to me that way? Like, none of you would want to be talked to like that. Like, but this is, and like, dude, you fucking cut his knees out from under him when you do that. Because what's he gonna say? What's he gonna do?
Right. Because the old school mentality would have been to get very upset, to like yell about it, or to not say anything, right? And just be like, and then go to TV and be like, well, that was just unacceptable. No, you take what he did in that moment was he took it and he said, it's not about me. Would you want to be treated like that? And he put every single person who heard him, who was in earshot, and go, I don't like that shit. That's fucked up. And every person of color knows what that sounds like. They know what that tone is. And more importantly, young people know what it's like too. Because young people, whether you're a person of color or not, you know what it's like to have a condescending older person talk down to you when you know more than them. Or you know that you're right. So even if they don't take it from a racial perspective, which is how it was presented, really, let's be honest, you know what that's like. And nothing pisses young people off more than being told what to do when they think that they're right. Right. They have parents. That's like the whole conflict with your parents. Right. So this is a political issue and those Republicans are older. So it becomes an us versus them thing. Right. From a racial perspective, from a, you know, liberal versus conservative perspective, Democrat versus Republican perspective, and from a young to old perspective, you fucked up. You didn't fucked up because now you have an entire generation who just watched what you did in Tennessee, and that's not even a national story. That's a local story.
But it became a national story because it was so egregious. And the irony about it is you might see some change in Tennessee. Like, you might see some of those purple districts flip blue next election, but Republicans are still going to have a firm grip on the Tennessee legislature. You're not going to dismantle that. But what about all these other states who are seeing this shit going on? And again, you're radicalizing, you're galvanizing people, you're fucking lighting people up to go out there and fucking vote. And you're going to probably have fucking Trump on the ballot too, to boot on top of that. That's a recipe for disaster.
I really think they're going to end up getting routed again in 2024. I think they're going to get routed again, let alone like the presidency. I think they're just going to get routed. And I think you're going to see more and more of these type of power grabs on the local level, and you're going to see more and more heavy-handed responses from Democrats, young Democrats, ready to go to war. Like, you want to go? Let's fucking go, baby. Like you said, these guys are way savvier, man. They're way savvier. And this is like, remember when AOC came in and they were like, she was literally giving classes to other congressmen and women, teaching them how to be savvier social media wise and like to clap back quickly and stuff like that, because that is the new era. Like, you may not like AOC, but she's damn good at what she does. And her generation in Congress on the national level, or, you know, Pearson and Jones on this local level in Tennessee, that is the future of the Democratic Party. And it should scare the shit out of Republicans. It should.
Yep.
So, best of luck. I can't wait to see how it turns out. I can't wait. You dumb idiots. Next up, this is sort of, this jumps right off of that same story. Republicans expel a Republican from the Arizona legislature. They didn't need any Democrats at all. Now former state representative Liz Harris was expelled from the Arizona House. For disorderly behavior. Now, sounds like a decorum issue, right? I was like, what's happening? Well, I think Arizona is real sick and tired of this whole election fraud bullshit. So what happened is the House made a vote with 46 representatives voting yes and 13 voting no. A two-thirds majority is needed to expel representatives, so they got it. What happened is, she brought in in February, they had public hearings in front of lawmakers. Recently they had these public hearings where they were talking about like how to avoid any possible like bad election issues and things like that coming up and everything else. Well, this woman, her name is Jacqueline Breger, was invited by the now expelled Liz Harris. Breger in February spoke at a public hearing in front of lawmakers when she, without evidence, accused numerous Republican and Democratic public officials of laundering money for the Sinaloa drug cartel through the use of fraudulent mortgage documents. She also accused the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints of being, quote, integral in laundering activities. So she came, when she was brought in by Liz Harris, she was like, oh, this election stuff is all a fraud and it's all bullshit and we shouldn't believe it. And they were like, oh, haha, that's interesting. Get the fuck out of here. And by the way, Liz, you also get the fuck out of here. So her making all these bullshit voter fraud claims and everything else was enough to get the person who brought her in booted, because they're like, you're not serious. This is like disorderly nonsense. You're just trying to like gum up the works with a bunch of bullshit. We're done. And keep in mind, they got 46 votes on them. Look, Arizona is officially a purple state. It is.
And I'm quite honestly shocked that Republicans were able to help govern themselves a little bit. But again,
that never happens.
That tells me that there's enough Republicans that are actually able to fucking see how the sun is shining and be like, holy shit. Like, we just ran a bunch of fucking election denying wackos in all of our state elections this past year and got the shit kicked out of us.
Yeah, that's correct.
We need to stop fucking platforming this stuff. Now, if Republicans around the country were smart, they would make sure that guys like Donald Trump, guys like, you know, I guess not Ron DeSantis, because Ron DeSantis isn't like an election denier dude, but like basically all these like fucking election conspiracy idiots didn't end up anywhere near a ballot. Of course, they are not that smart, and we will have plenty of election denying assholes on Republican ballots all over the country. But I guess maybe not in Arizona, where it looks like they're going to actually try to fight for these seats with actual sane, normal Republican candidates.
Yep.
Who'd have thought?
Here you go. Arizona Republican leaders spoke out against the Breger incident in the days following, with House Speaker Ben Toma and Senate President Warren Peterson pinning the blame for the presentation on Harris. Quote, "What should have been a joint hearing to examine common sense election reforms devolved into disgraceful fringe theory." That was Toma who said that. Quote, "I'm not alone in believing that it was irresponsible and bad judgment for Ms. Harris to invite a person to present unsubstantiated and defamatory allegations in a legislative forum." They are very done. They're done. So best of luck, because now you can't even get your conspiracy theory nutbags in local government. That shit's unacceptable. And they'll boot your ass for it. Not that they censured her or anything like that, or said, hey, this is unacceptable. They straight up booted her. Like,
yeah, get the entire fuck out.
Yeah. So, good, good, good. Governments should police themselves, and parties themselves should do that. And the Republican Party has a real, real shitty track record for calling out their own shenanigans. So that's good. All right, let's talk about a Texas judge who banned abortion pill access nationwide.
Yeah, tried to. We'll talk about the response to it in a second. Right.
Justice Department on Monday appealed a Texas court ruling that would halt the approval of a drug used in the most common method of abortion in the United States, calling the decision extraordinary and unprecedented. If allowed to stand, the order issued last week by U.S. District Judge Matthew Kaczmarek could restrict access.
It's Kaczmarek.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, I only know because I've heard the dude's name 800 times over the past week.
I haven't heard it. So. Fuck that guy. It could restrict access to abortion medication as early as Friday, unsettling abortion providers less than a year after the reversal of Roe v. Wade already dramatically curtailed abortion access.
So the thing is, like, this is kind of scary for a lot of reasons, and not about this particular case with Beth Pristone specifically, but Republicans know that this fucking Kaczmarek guy, who's a Trump appointee and basically just a fucking Republican hack who was appointed to the federal bench, he's the only federal judge in Amarillo, Texas. So what happened is this group of doctors incorporated who are against mifepristone incorporated a company and incorporated it in Amarillo so they could file suit and knew that they would get this fucking hack judge.
So
basically Republicans judge are going to be doing a fuck ton of forum shopping to get these fucking Republican hacks that were just waved through to get shit that they want done, and then hope that it gets up to the 6-3 Supreme Court eventually, because that's where this is going to ultimately end up at the end of the day. To pass their wins. Now this order probably won't go into effect because A, the Biden administration has already, DOJ has already appealed the ruling, so it's gonna move up anyway. And B, about a couple hours after this ruling was placed, a judge in Washington State ruled that actually upheld the FDA approval of the drug, kind of knowing that this was coming. So there's conflicting rulings, and so now the FDA is asking for guidance as far as what they're supposed to do, which, you know, usually in these kind of cases, the status quo remains until it can ultimately be decided. So it'll still probably be available in most cases. But what this does also do is it potentially casts some doubt over the legality of this drug, which has been legal, by the way, and approved by the FDA for 23 years, which is going to make some providers gun shy in providing it while the status of it is up in the air, which is really all that Republicans want at the end of the day.
Yeah. Look, Roe v. Wade's, overturning Roe v. Wade and throwing things back to the states is disastrous, right? Ridiculous on its face for obvious reasons. Then trying to suddenly say, well, now we're going to do a national ban on this medication.
Mm-hmm.
No. Like, no. Your whole point, and look, I get why they're doing it, right? Because the base has been convinced that this is the only way, right? You have to go full ban, right? They didn't get full ban, but they're trying to nickel and dime their way in. But what you're doing, what you're saying is, now you get to control what other states do and what citizens of other states do. That's that ruling doesn't even make any sense. Yeah. If Roe v. Wade had its legs cut from under it, as the law is now, every state gets to choose. Why on earth would it be acceptable for a judge in Texas to say that a citizen of Maryland can't get this drug? That makes no sense.
Well, and not only that, not only has the Supreme Court, this Supreme Court, already set that precedent by saying, oh, the state should decide on abortion rights, but the Supreme Court generally, many, many years ago, had FDA approvals like brought before them, and they're just like, this is settled law. Like, Congress passed a law giving the FDA the power to do this shit. So barring new legislation being enacted, we don't have anything to do with this.
Right.
So there's two precedents. Pick whichever one you want. But in a sensible world, SCOTUS wouldn't even hear this case. It would come up. It I'm sure it's going to get overruled against this judge's ruling on the way up the ladder. And I'm assuming the Ninth Circuit is going to be like, no, fuck that. Like, this is bullshit. And the Supreme Court should look at it and be like, yeah, we're not even going to take this up. The Ninth Circuit ruling can stand. And go kick rocks. That should be what happens. Whether that is what happens, we'll have to wait a couple of years.
We'll have to see.
See how it pans out.
It doesn't. It just fundamentally doesn't make any sense. Like,
no.
Like, I was listening to an interview with Jay Inslee, right? And he was saying that Idaho is trying to pass a law that you can't even go into Washington. You can't travel to get an abortion outside of Idaho. Like, if you're an Idaho citizen,
literally unconstitutional, by the way.
How the fuck could you possibly pass it?
Violates the free movement clause of the Constitution.
Right. Or the Commerce Act. Like,
yeah, literally doesn't
like,
exist.
No, dude, you can't just be like, well, you can't go for that reason. You can't tell me I can't go. What if I go there and, like, just to go to Washington State and then I trip and fall and it causes me to have an abortion? Well, you shouldn't have done that while you were there. That's dumb. That doesn't make any sense. Like, Jansley's like, yeah, look, I don't agree with what Idaho is doing as far as like their abortion laws, but he was like, you don't get to wake up in the morning and tell Washington State what they get to do with their laws. It's like, that's not how it works. And it's like, he's 100% correct. Like Gretchen Whitmer, governor of Michigan, said basically the same thing. Like for other states around her that want to, you know, or any state that wants to restrict abortion, Michigan is going to be a safe haven. You can come here and have your abortion. It's fine. Right? Like, I don't understand what even is the conservative argument that that should be allowed. That makes no sense. You've been screaming about sending abortion back to the states. Okay, it's back to the states. Oh, well, now these liberal states, they can't have this stuff either. Well, that's not how that works.
Now what's interesting about this ruling as well is we are starting to see more and more conservatives, even the psychopaths out there, getting pissed off when they see this shit because they understand that it's costing them politically. They understand that it's costing them voters because they are smart enough to see that that abortion is a fucking, again, like the majority of the country approves of some level of abortion access.
Yeah.
On a federal
70%.
And even these insane people who, if they could snap their fingers with no consequences and just outlaw abortion entirely in this country, are saying, hey guys, maybe don't fucking go balls to the wall with this shit because we're losing suburban white people. By pushing this issue to the extremes.
Yeah. Like, Ann Coulter is one of those people.
Yeah. Yeah, like
it's crazy as she is. She was like, don't do that.
they're like, look, I too would love to see like a fucking total ban, but at the same time, maybe let's compromise on like the Lindsey Graham 15-week ban. And even that's too extreme for us. Like as liberals, like we're not gonna accept that. Yeah. Like no fucking way. But they're smart to be as conservatives, be like, hey, like maybe we should just go for this, because this is attainable, perhaps. And maybe we won't get annihilated for it, like if we do that.
But as I discussed before, the secret to that Lindsey Graham 15-week abortion ban is it doesn't do anything, because the vast majority of abortions are before 15 weeks. So,
yes.
Like, it's what is it? 15 weeks and exception of the life of the mother, and rape and incest, right? So it's like you're not affecting 99.9% of abortions, right? Like you really quite literally aren't. But it is a way, and look, I hate to say it, but like, is Lindsey Graham gaming his own people? It's a way to say, look, we got a total abortion ban, but he knows that it doesn't affect anybody. Not really.
Yes.
Look, we are not going to accept that because we don't want any bans, period. But as it goes, it really wouldn't affect that many people. It would affect very few.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't exist
anyway. And again, like, a lot of Republican voters are stupid enough to buy that. We did it. Like, we did a ban. Like, it didn't really do anything, but okay.
Some of them still think they built a wall, Brad. These people. A tangible thing that you could go to the border and see doesn't exist. They're like, nah, Trump built
a wall. Let me ask you this question. And I'm going to ask you this question. I'm not going to provide an answer because I don't want to be pigeonholed into this answer, but I'm still going to make you answer.
Oh, so you're going to make me do it. Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, going to make you that. So a deal is proposed on the table. Support the 15-week abortion ban federally, and that passes. But then every state in the country must provide, in good faith, access to abortion care as long as it lies within the 15-week ban or for, you know, life of the mother, rape and incest, whatever the exceptions are. So 15-week ban, but every single state in the country has to provide good abortion services to people that want them. Do you take that deal?
As a liberal person.
Yes.
I take that deal if I would go a little bit more detailed. I don't trust southern states to do good faith anything. what is this, Reconstruction? Get out of here. No.
Yeah.
You have
federal government.
Federal
government runs the program. So take it out of the state's hands. Federal government runs the program.
There is, and I say there is at least one abortion clinic in every single district of your state. Because you look, Texas is gonna be like, oh, it's reasonable. There's one in Houston, and that's it. Right? Like, no, fuck off. Every single district, you have to guarantee that there is one. Look, you let the federal government run it. That's fine, right? It's federal land or whatever, and like you just
fucking
killing babies all day. Who gives a shit? I take that deal. Look, but here's, I will give this caveat, right? Because you're not pigeonholing yourself, but you're allowing me to, which is fucked up. But here's the only, here, I take that deal, but I also have to say this. I recognize that it is way easier for me to take that deal because it does not affect my body, right? And I 100% agree with any woman who says that deal sucks and it is a terrible deal and you're an idiot. You're right. But in order to get people, and I don't disagree with them, but in order to help people, I think you would help more people if you had that versus what you have now.
Mm-hmm.
I would personally like a full abortion is legal. You're not allowed to intimidate people or shut down all the abortion clinics and all the other horse shit that states have been doing for years. But if I got nothing else, I'd take that deal. But again, federal government runs it. There is at least one abortion clinic per district in every state. All right, Brad, you taking that deal? No, you're not gonna just
I don't have to answer that question. I was asking you that question.
Oh, that, all right, you fucking But that's a tough one.
I think your logic is sound, and I think that you could, like, if you're a Democrat, like, you could easily sell that the same way that we do, where we're like, look, like, this does cover 99.9% of all abortions. Like, I understand that, like, it's not like any ban is against, like, women's rights and bodily autonomy and all that stuff, but by having these clinics here, like, a lot more people will be able to access these services in a timely manner, so that, you know, the 15-week restriction hopefully should not be an imposition. So
yeah, absolutely. I also demand that there be underground tunnels that you drive into so that protesters can't see you.
Yeah.
I mean, quite literally, I'm like, no, I think it should just be like an underground garage or whatever. You drive in a different part of town, you pop up, and there you are. You get fucking Elon Musk. He wants to do a stupid Hyperloop or whatever bullshit. Fine. But that, I want full protection for those people. And the federal government is allowed to beat up protesters who bother these people. I'm also in support of that.
Just abortion protesters. Like, it'll be a new amendment. Like, you know, for the Constitution, no one shall infringe on your right to protest unless you're an abortion protester.
I love these fucking dickbags. Federal government gets to use a blackjack on any of these people. Get away from here. It's fine. Yeah, no, I take that deal. It's a terrible deal to take, ultimately, but I take that deal. Helps more than it hurts. All right, man. You guys want to talk about
speaking of tough deals here. Tough deals.
I would like to call this story Greg Abbott is not a good governor, but I think I'm going to call an audible here and just title it White People. They ain't shit. Like, that's not a question, though. Like, that, like, just, like, quite literally. Daniel Perry is a right-wing psychopath who went online and said that he was going to kill someone on his way to work that day because he was going to go to a Black Lives Matter protest. Felt like killing somebody. He said this online, I believe, numerous times. He then went to a Black Lives Matter rally and killed a guy, a white dude who was there. Mm-hmm. He gets sentenced for murder.
Convicted. He hasn't been
sentenced. Excuse me, convicted. He gets convicted of murder by a jury of his peers. Completely reasonable. The dude murdered somebody. He went online and said he was going to murder somebody. He goes and he does it. He gets found guilty. Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, comes out and goes, I'm going to pardon this man.
Immediately. You are almost, no. You're almost correct. You're almost correct. That's not the exact sequence of events. The sequence of events is this guy gets convicted. Tucker Carlson goes on his hobby horse saying, why isn't Governor Abbott out here pardoning this guy? And then Greg Abbott's like, you know what? I should take a look at this pardon here. Now, the good news is that in Texas, the governor does not have pardon power the same way that the federal government, like the president, has pardon power in the federal system.
Oh, really? So, I didn't realize that.
Correct. Yeah. So what Greg Abbott can do is, and he has done this, is he has sent a request for expedited review to the Texas Pardons Board. So basically they have like a third party board that basically weighs these requests, and they're the ones that make the determination. And then the governor can either, or they give a recommendation, and the governor can either approve their recommendation and issue the pardon or decline their recommendation. But Greg Abbott can't just go out on his own and be like, I'm going to pardon this guy. Like, he has to get a recommendation for pardon from this board in order to do it. So that's number one. The Daniel Perry's brother is on record saying the governor should not pardon it. The fucking murderer's brother is like, yeah, like, no, like, don't fucking do that. Like, that's
he'll
insane.
Kill,
like,
again.
Dude, like he literally posted online saying that he was going to do this and he did it. So
but it,
like, what, but the
it,
fuck?
And it's, look, let's get real. He's not pardoning him because it was some sort of like, well, you know,
right,
there's like a question of the murder. Or like, no, he's pardoning him because he is sending a message. And Tucker Carlson supports this, by the way, also, it is sending a message that you're not allowed to support this Black Lives Matter shit. It is okay to kill people who protest against white supremacy. That is what it is at the end of the day.
And not only that, but I can't imagine. It just kind of mind-boggling at this point. And again, like, we've been heading this way and we've kind of been here for a while now. But it is so pathetic to have one of our two main political parties in this country, their whole driving, their North Star, like their fucking, their guiding point is simply not to improve the lives of their constituents, not to make the country a better place. It's simply to own the libs. That's literally everything that they do. That's what it is fucking geared towards. I could not imagine supporting a political party who is so worried about what the other political party is doing, what they think about what you're doing, and having that be what drives you forward. I hate to break it to you. If there's any fucking conservatives that are still listening, that are premium members that are still listening this late to the show.
Thanks.
But yeah, thanks for your money. I can't imagine a single Democrat having a policy position and why do you support this? Because, dude, the fucking, it's gonna piss off the right wing so badly. Yeah, like, they're gonna be so fucking mad. If we pass this shit, like, oh, it's going to be great. We're going to fucking own. We're going to fucking get their asses. Like, it's going to be fucking awesome. That literally doesn't enter the equation ever. Never.
Or if it does, it's super rare. It's super rare. Right.
Like, or it's like the icing on the cake. Right. Like, you know, like, hey, like, we actually have a reason for this, you know, wanting to pass. Right. And also, like, it'll, you know, the conservatives will have a little fucking baby mouth out over it. It'll be very funny to watch. But like, that's not the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth reason that any Democrat pursues any policy that they believe in.
Yeah, no, because they're the grown-ups in the room, and Republicans are children, right? But allowing this guy to go after he literally said, I'm going to kill these people, and then goes and does it, is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
And again, like, if you ever hear a Republican talk about, oh, like, they're the party that believes in the rule of law. I mean, at this point, the fucking stack of rebuttals that we have is just like fucking as high as the sky at this point.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's nonsense. So I don't want to end on that. I want to end on something that's a little bit more insane that might make you mad. But hey, that's why we're here. I don't know if you saw that. You know, there was a mass shooting in Kentucky recently, a couple days ago, where 5 people were killed.
I know what you're gonna say.
Did you hear this law that by Kentucky law, the gun that was used?
Yes, I have heard about this.
Wow, this is mind-blowing to me. The gun that was used in the mass shooting, it's not like held in police evidence and it's or destroyed.
Or not melted down or anything like that.
Right. They auction it off so that someone else can buy it, so then they have a gun. So the gun used in a mass shooting in Kentucky that killed 5 people, including cops, will be auctioned off so someone can go, hey, man, I own the gun that killed those cops. Isn't that awesome? Look, I don't live in a red state, but that's some wacky shit, man.
Yeah.
That's some wacky shit. Like, so yeah. What you're telling me is, like, if that person had killed, like, 20 kids, that gun would go up for sale?
Apparently, that's
the law. And everyone is cool with that. I guess, man. I truly don't understand.
You know who isn't cool with that? The Louisville chief of police, who fucking was the one that told everyone about that, and basically was like, "This is fucking ridiculous. Like, what the fuck are we doing here?" Like was basically literally his response to this shit. This was also
it's a valid question. It's a very valid question.
The Kentucky shooting was also interesting for other reasons, because this was the first time that I've ever seen notable politicians get up and you know, what's the governor's name out there? Andy Bevin. I can't remember his name. Who's a Democrat. Basically talked about how, like, he personally knew 3 of the victims in the shooting. Senator Rick Scott of Florida personally knew 1 of the victims in the shooting and went online on Twitter to talk about how sad he was about his friend who was killed in this senseless act of violence. You can imagine the fucking replies. To him.
Yeah, go fuck
yourself. David Hogg, one of the survivors of the Parkland shooting, basically replied to him, must feel fucking suck to know you're complicit.
It's a good reply.
So,
you know what the funny thing is? It's starting to touch them now. That's interesting.
And we've always said like it'll be very interesting when that rubber starts to hit the road, because statistically, with as many fucking shootings as we have, like it's bound to happen, and it's bound to happen more. Like you're gonna see that more and more. And I'm just curious to know if that has any possible chance of moving the needle. But to your point on the show, either last week or a couple weeks ago, like Steve Scalise literally got shot by a gunman and was like, "Nah, I don't want to ban any guns." Like that's double down.
Nonsense. Frankly, if the shooter more had guns. More guns, it would have weighed him down and I could have escaped. Like what's your fucking argument, dude? You're insane.
Yeah.
I don't know. I I got to tell you, of all the things that Elon Musk has done with Twitter, one of the things I hate the most is stop. Can you please make it so I can turn off the For You tab? Why is it first in the app? I have to look at this garbage bullshit from Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro all the time. But I saw Ben Shapiro had like tweeted out. He was like, I think he was talking to David Hoke, and he was like, look, man, you don't have kids. You know, I have kids. Which is always a good way to start a conversation. and he was like, listen, you know, I want my kids to be safe and make sure they go to a school that has, you know, like plenty of security and stuff like that. They cannot for the life of themselves just admit that unfettered access to guns is the problem. Yeah.
You're like, it's morbidly funny because it seems like the last couple shootings have run in direct defiance to the shit that they push. Like the school shooting a couple weeks ago in Tennessee, you know, what did they say after Uvalde? Oh, the cops, it was the cops' fault. Like, they chickened out, like, they didn't get in there fast enough, they could have saved lives. Well, guess what? The fucking cops in Tennessee kicked the fucking door in straight away and fucking stormed the building like a goddamn SWAT team and took the shooter down ASAP. They still killed six people. Okay, cool. Well, you know, yeah, the cops acted fast this time, but, you know, it's because there weren't any armed guards at the school. That's the problem. It's because if we had armed guards, this would happen. Well, guess what? Dude at a bank just killed fucking five people. Guess what every fucking bank in the country has standing inside of it? Armed guards. Uh-oh. Good guy with a gun couldn't stop the dude with the AR-15. Shocker. I know.
Yeah, it was funny because Ted Cruz said, I want schools that are armed like a bank. And people are like, this you sure? Because this just happened.
Impeccable timing, Ted. He sent that tweet out 10 days before the Louisville bank shooting. Just chef's kiss fucking tweet, Ted Cruz. Like, you fucking idiot.
Like, what do you want? Do you want kids to grow? Like, again, I don't understand. As a parent, you don't get this. You think it's a good idea for your kids to grow up where they go to school with a bunch of armed military style people around them constantly?
Yeah, it'll toughen them up, Jay. It'll toughen them up. Make them want to join the fucking military and give their blood and fucking sacrifice for the country.
Yeah. For oil.
That's right.
But, like, you think that doesn't have an impact on kids? You guys think that Lego store employees with a rainbow flag on their lapel, that affects kids. But you don't think militarized school, that affects kids. You think video games affect kids, but you don't think a militarized school environment affects kids. See, I'm convinced that people like any of these folks on Turning Point USA or any of their ilk aren't just incorrect. I think they're actually quite stupid. Like, they don't have any level of understanding of what it means to be a real human being in the world. No smart thinking person thinks that walking into a school surrounded by people in tactical military gear doesn't affect kids. That's a really fucked up way for education to be tied to violence. That's not a good thing.
You know who does that? Countries with dictators, countries with authoritarian governments, third world countries. That's who has military personnel posted in schools and churches and other places of social gathering. That's who does that.
They don't look. This is gonna sound wild coming from me. They don't love this country. They don't love freedom. They don't love any of that shit that they talk about. They don't. Like, I don't buy into any of it anyway, because, like, I'm black in America, and so I'm like, freedom, okay. Yeah, all right, guys. We just got it. We barely have it, right? But they don't even believe in the shit that they tout. Freedom, you know, pride in your country, shit like that. They don't have any of that. Ultimate freedom is not compatible with a society. There has to be some level of restrictions, right? Like, there just has to be, because unfettered access to guns in this case gets a lot of people fucking killed. It just does. So, you know, Ben Shapiro says, well, I'm going to send my kid to the, you know, most armed school and everything else. Why, Ben? Why? Right? What about freedom? Like, shouldn't people with guns be allowed to walk up near schools, right? Because it's not the guns, right? Surely they should be able to have it. I saw one guy go, well, you know, he was like, it's not the guns. And he was like, okay. Somebody responded and go, okay, then why can't I have a suitcase nuke? Why not? And the guy's like, well, I'm not sure you can have it. And he gave some dumb response. Spoiler alert, you can't. You can't. Because it is a fucking weapon that would kill millions of people, dumb. Stop trying to justify a moronic answer. The answer is no. We don't give. We don't have guns at the NRA conferences. We don't have guns at the Trump rallies and shit. You know why? Because they don't want those guys to get shot. That's why. It's not the people. It's the weapons. It's not that difficult to understand.
Yeah,
it really is. Why?
So if more guns is the answer, and I know they've talked about arming teachers and stuff like that, which again, terrible fucking idea. Why not train the kids and let the kids carry guns to school every day? What would be the harm in that? There's no constitutional amendment against children owning guns. It doesn't say anything in the Second Amendment about kids carrying guns. So why not train kids to have guns? Oh, because they're not fucking mentally developed, mentally mature enough to be trusted with a fucking weapon that could kill somebody? Oh, gee whiz. Maybe that should apply to people who are mentally unwell, who have history of domestic violence or other violent, you know, things in their past, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That, like, that's what we're asking for, guys. Again, like we, as you and I have said many times in the show, every gun could disappear from America tomorrow. We would not give one single fuck. Would not bother us in the slightest. But we're also not advocating for that because we know that that's not a plausible outcome.
Right.
Because the Second Amendment does, in fact, exist.
Right. Now, of course, they read it incorrectly, but whatever.
Right. But again, we're not asking for every gun to go away. We're asking for common sense to reign, to fucking win the day.
I'm telling you, man.
And to have reasonable restrictions.
If I had my druthers and I could build a time machine, the first thing I would do is I would build it, and then I would send a white man back in time. I'm not going. Are you out of your mind? I would send Brad, and I would be like, Brad, you have a beard. Talk to these idiots and be like, hey, man, if you make the Second Amendment, please be a little bit clearer in your language, okay?
Do I get to go back with an AR-15? And they'll be like, "What the fuck is that?"
I'll
be
this
like,
guy's "This gonna is take the over the country." Yeah,
this is the fucking future.
Yeah,
like, come on,
no guns.
Like,
how about no guns?
Yeah,
see how the country turns out with no guns.
Well, that's what I'm thinking could happen. Like when they're writing the Constitution, I'll come back with the AR-15, and I'll be like, "Check this shit out," and I'll fucking blast that, and they'll be like, "Holy fucking shit!" Like, is that what happens in the future? And I'm like, yeah, like, this is what guns become. And they're like, we're just not gonna have any guns.
Yeah, no guns.
Period. Like, there we go. We'll fight our army with sticks. Anything's better than that fucking monstrosity. Yeah. Good lord.
Yeah. Well, you could just take over. Like, you just take over the 13 colonies with one AR-15, honestly.
Guess what?
I'm writing the Constitution now, bitches. Yeah, sorry. Write it down. It's no longer called the John Hancock. It's called the Brad. Get out of here. but yeah, it's like I am forever amazed at the idiocy that comes out of the right wing when it comes to talking about guns. Like, so many people are like, cool, Ben Shapiro, I get that you want to protect your kids. I totally understand that. But what about everyone else's kids?
Guess what? I'm trying to make it easier for you to protect your kids. Guess what? I apparently care about your kids more than you do, Ben Shapiro. Right.
And look,
because I don't want your kids to have to go to school under armed guard.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Ben Shapiro is a Orthodox Jewish guy, right? I assume his kids are also Orthodox, whatever. I know for an absolute fact. Trust me, where I live, Brad, you know where I live, right? There are more Jewish folks where I live and in New York than there are in Israel. Quite literally. Like, there's more in the United States. Like, the two pockets where I live in Maryland and in New York are like massive pockets. And then like LA, because, you know, the media. they control everyone. They're all there.
I feel like you're giving Florida short shift.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Florida's got a lot too, but it's a lot of like Dianne Feinstein's. They're all 89
years. Yeah.
But I know for a fact, like, I have a friend of mine whose kid goes to, you know, Orthodox Jewish school, and they get threats all the fucking time. My buddy works for like a Jewish organization. They get threats all the time. They get phone calls. Ah, we're going to blow your building up. Ah, we're going to shoot you guys all the time. So I get why he is maybe even a little bit more on edge than other people about his kids possibly being harmed. I get it. But hey, Ben, You are advocating for a group of people who want more guns. That makes it more terrifying for your kids. And if it's not terrifying for your kids, it's terrifying for my kid. It's terrifying for Brad's kid. It's terrifying for the listeners' kids. It's terrifying for kids that we don't even fucking know. So I know it's really hard in your ideology to think about others or extrapolate a situation out because it hasn't happened to you. But before it happens to your kid, how about you give a fuck as a human being about other people's kids? I give a fuck about your kids even when you don't give a fuck about mine. I don't think any kid should be killed at school. I think it's horrible. I think it is the worst fucking thing a parent ever has to find out. So how about we work together to not have as many guns on the street as possible, you fucking idiot. It's not that
difficult. And again, like if you're going to sit there and be a gun humper, my point from a couple weeks ago stands. I need to know your number. What's your number? I got to know the number. What's the number of dead children through gun violence that's acceptable to keep your Second Amendment freedoms? Give it to me. You got to give me a number. You got to give me one.
All the kids? Is it all the kids?
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm not having the conversation. Like if you won't give me the number, I can't have the conversation.
Yeah.
Because there is a number. Because obviously, the number of kids killed by gun violence just this year, any year,
we have greater than zero. Right.
It's greater than zero. So clearly, that your minimum is the number of kids that have died this year. So that's your minimum number. What's your actual number? Because we're not done. Like, there are going to be more kids that die from gun violence this year, probably next week. I'm sure we'll talk about another instance. So,
no, you guys are just morally fucking empty. You just are. You're just morally empty and morally bankrupt, if you will. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, I would just love to talk to him in person and be like, dude, you give so much of a fuck about your kids. I don't doubt that. Why do you not care about anyone else's kids? Like, it is a moral failing of the Republican Party and conservatism writ large that they have no ability to look past themselves to go, hey, man, this could affect other people in society. Yeah, dumb. That's why we live in one. Is to give a fuck about each other.
They're not even looking past themselves. Because again, like we said,
it's amazing.
If they truly cared about their kids, this would be a non-issue. Again, Sandy Hook would have happened, and they'd been like
done. It would have been done.
Look, we fucked up. Like, look, we were wrong. You're right. You guys are right. We need to fucking come to the table because this shit can never happen again. And shit would have gotten done. Instead, what do? They fucking doubled down. They doubled down. So.
And then you got Parkland. You got all this other shit.
Yep.
Lovely. Best of luck. All right. That is it for us. We will see you guys next week with another fun-filled episode. Well, a little bit for everybody. Will there be Nazis? We don't know.
Probably. I mean, like the odds say more likely than not.
Jesus Christ. All right. That's it for us. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.